Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
And hey, everybody. Happy Sunday. Rainy Sunday out here in my neck of the woods. This is episode 726 of the Overseas Connection podcast. It is March 19th, 2023. Mother's Day in the UK, if you are so happening to be celebrating that. Joining me today, Kim Woods. Kim, how are you doing?
Howdy, howdy. Yeah, I'm good. It's cold here, but I think we've got a warm-up coming this week. Hopefully it stays that way because I am so ready for winter to get her ass out of here. So
I'm right there with you. Yeah. It was beautiful yesterday. I'm not going to lie. It was like 70 degrees. The sun stayed for the most part. No rain. I was happy. But
70 degrees. I am totally jealous of that. You know what was here? It was like 10 degrees.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Yeah,
I'll
right? pass.
I think I'm good with where I live, even though I complain about a lot of the crap that California does.
Right.
I'm not really complaining at this point in time.
The weather's good, though. You know?
Yes.
Makes up for it.
Look, we pay for our sunshine. That is a adage that I stand by. It's a California thing. It may not really be the greatest place to live, but if you want year-round, more or less good weather, it's pretty hard to beat. Okay. If you're wondering what this podcast is about that you've tuned into, it is not about the weather. It is about video games for the most part. We are a mature gaming podcast. We buy our own beer. We talk about life. We talk about video games, too. We're going to talk about news, about what we've been playing, all kinds of stuff as we get into it. We do that every 9 p.m. in the UK. And because they are a little behind the times, they don't have the superpower of time travel. So they have not been able to jump forward in time yet. They will do that next week when they level up and they earn that power. And so in the meantime, we're just keeping it nice for the UK and keeping it 9 p.m. Normally, we're 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, and out in the freezing tundra of Kim's hometown, 3 p.m. That was really difficult for me to say. So
I thought maybe you were going to call it planet there for a minute.
I was going to call it a planet. I mean, in some respects, Kim, where you do live, it is kind of like its own planet.
It is. Not going to lie.
All right. We are on YouTube. We are on Twitch. So that means you can watch us live, but we will also produce an audio version of this podcast so you can listen to us as you're on the treadmill, if you're doing, work, whatever the case may be. Maybe you're trying to figure out if your horse is dying or if it's just sunning itself. You could be listening to the podcast and do that at the same time. So, absolutely. No birthdays to announce this week. If you had a birthday and we've missed it, get over it. You'll have another one. Mother's Day in the UK, we covered that. Awesome. St. Patrick's Day just happened, Kim.
It did.
And you're wearing green.
I know. Ish. Yep.
Green-ish.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, in honor of Robin and, Northern Ireland, Mexico, my son's school sent home a creation. And this is how we honor St. Patrick's Day at my son's school. I'm just going to throw this up there. This is a sugar cookie with green icing and Lucky Charms. Oh, my potato sound didn't work. Damn it. That's okay. I tried.
The thought was there.
I will eat this cookie at some point.
That sugar.
It's a sugar rush. Yeah, it is. But no green beer for me. I didn't even drink on St. Pat. Well, okay, I take it back. I did. I did have margaritas yesterday, but that's the only time. The whole week was dry. I'm like patting myself on the back. I went actually.
It was mine. So
mine was what? Mine was out of choice. Yours sounds like it was not out of choice.
Not really, but it is what it is.
That's okay. Sometimes it's okay not to drink. Mm. I don't know when that really is, but it's okay. I've been told. all right. Kevin Westerman, I want to give him a shout out real quickly. He had sent off a message to the world, basically, not only ourselves, the VG HubNet crew, including the SEAL podcast, the veteran gamers. And he was saying, hey, I'm trying to recruit two players to play Modern Warfare 2 Raid Part 1 and Part 2. Basically, it was a free weekend for Part 1. And of course, we got to this a day later. So sorry, Kevin. But hopefully, Kev, you found some people and you hung out and you had a good time.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to do story time, Kim.
All righty.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
And yes, Boomer, that is an interesting combo. Lucky Charms go with everything. They really do. I could just eat them out of the box with no milk, nothing, just by the handful.
I'm that way with Fruit Loops.
You know what? Okay, we're going to do a sidebar on cereal. I was never big on Fruit Loops. Mm-hmm. I loved Fruity Pebbles.
Same. I still eat Fruity Pebbles.
Pretty sure they're the exact same cereal, just in different shapes. But I think my all-time favorite is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Mm, yep.
Surprisingly good. Yeah. Although I do have a passion for Lucky Charms. And I am a kid when it comes to my Lucky Charms. So I literally eat all of the oat cereal first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Leave nothing but marshmallows at the end in the milk. Mm-hmm. And then importantly, I have to count how many marshmallows I had in the bowl. Mm-hmm. And then I will eat the marshmallows.
Ah.
I used to do
the same. It's good that you eat the cereal first or it'd be soggy.
I know. I do the same. Oh, that's the whole thing. I eat because the marshmallows, totally okay in the milk. They stand the test of time. You could leave them for like an hour. They're not affected.
Right.
The cereal, though, 100%. It's just like Cheerios. You've got to get to it fast and quick. Right. Otherwise, it's just nobody wants soggy Cheerios. Chips. Yeah. Mm,
no.
So, yeah, that was my thing.
Cool.
Oddly, I did that with bubblegum ice cream as well. Although that was probably a much more disgusting affair. So I don't know if you've ever had bubblegum ice cream.
No, but you know.
Okay. So there's a ice cream shop called Swenson's that was real popular when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're kind of like a Baskin Robbins. They had all these different flavors of ice creams. And one of them was bubblegum ice cream. And so it basically was like almost like a cotton candy kind of flavor to the ice cream. Mm-hmm. But in it, they actually had bubblegum. You know, round bubblegum balls. And so I would eat the ice cream. And if I got a scoop with bubblegum in it, I would spit it back out into my bowl. So I could count how many bubblegums I got in my scoop of ice cream.
Well, I mean, I love you're not sharing it. So there's that. I mean,
this
you know.
Is true. I definitely did not share it. But now that I think about it in retrospect, yeah.
Yeah, well, the things we did when we were kids that, you know, now we look back at it and we're like.
If I had a scoop of it today, though, I probably would today as well. I'm not going to lie.
There you go. Well, at least you're honest.
Yeah. Favorite ice cream, Kim?
Oh, God. Anything just about. It varies. I mean, I like chocolate all the time. But, I mean, I like Butterbrickle, Butterbrickron, vanilla. It just, whatever the mood strikes me. So I don't think I've had any ice cream that I didn't like. I mean, unless they make, like, prune flavor or something, then that one might be out. But I haven't really ice cream I didn't like, so
which probably explains things. You know, I know I told the bubblegum story. Bubblegum, not my favorite ice cream.
Right.
I absolutely am a cookie dough person, but I think my new favorite is it's called Moose Tracks, I think.
Yep.
And it's mint chip with mint chip ice cream, but it almost has like Oreo pieces in it, and it is awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm making myself hungry as we're talking. I also like bacon. I like.
Right? Who doesn't like bacon? I mean, other than Phil.
Yeah.
We still love you, Phil, but you know.
Technically, Phil likes bacon. He's admitted as much. He loves bacon. It's his one weakness as a vegan, which, I mean, vegan is synonymous with devil worshiper. And he said he likes bacon, but, you know, obviously he tries not to eat bacon.
Right.
But that is like, you know, his knees go a little weak when he gets around bacon. Everybody
don't blame the man. So.
No. Okay. Kim, what has been going on your side of the world? Tell me about the story with the horse first and foremost.
Before I come in, I went out to do chores because, of course, we're podcasting an hour later, so I'll go ahead and do chores so that way afterwards I don't have to. And I went out there, and we have the hay bale out in the pasture for the three horses that are out there, and I looked over, and I saw one laying down, either beside it or in the hay bale. I wasn't sure which. And I'm like, well, that's weird. And we've got one who's probably 26, 27 years old, and for a horse, that's up there. That's ancient. And I thought... Easy, Trigger. Easy. And I thought, well, shit. I said, we got the old ass through winter, and now here springtime, warm weather's coming, and the fucker's going to die on me. So I holler at him a couple times, didn't get nothing. I whistle a couple times, nothing. And I think, okay, well, I'm going to go do the rest of the chores. When I come back, I'll mention it to Dad. And then that way, if he wants to head out there and check on him, he can do that. So I go and do the rest of the chores and come back, and I look over, and I notice the horse-sized lump in the hay bale is gone. And I'm like, all right, so the old fucker must have got up. Well, come to find out, it wasn't the old one laying down in the hay bale. It's the younger one. Apparently, with it being warm out, the sun out, that sort of thing, he decided he was going to lay down and sun himself. Which is kind of odd for horses, because they don't typically lay down unless they're sick or hurt or something like that. But then I guess I have lazy-ass horses, so maybe that's why.
I was just going to say, I'm like, isn't that usually like a sign of a horse being sick?
Right. But my horses, much like me, are weird. So I guess he just thought, well, if the sun's out, it's warm-ish, at least warmer than it has been. So I'm just going to lay here in the sun and warm myself, because he was up and around when I come back through. So he's fine. And the old asshole is apparently like two hills over eating with his buddy. So he was fine, too. Animals, okay. What are you going to do?
Sell him for a horse meat?
Yeah, well, we kind of already did that once earlier this last year. So
we won't talk about that. What else has been going on?
Oh, well, you know, you already heard me bitch about it being cold, but spring's on the way. So looks like maybe this week we might have a couple of days where it's 60, which is weird because then like following days, it's going to be like 30 and 40. So it's no wonder people are sick around here, but 60 degrees, I'll take it. We're getting there. You know, eventually, you know, by next week or the week after, it's going to stay up in that. So it'll be nice. Hopefully soon, because I'm getting real. It seems like the older I get, the less I like winter. And given that I live in Missouri, this is a bad combination, because guess what? We get winter. So anyway.
So you're not alone. I mean, that is a very common thing. Right. That's why they end up, the whole term snowbirds comes from this.
Right.
So people that live in the north, they move to the south during the wintertime to avoid the winter. Right. And typically those people tend to be older.
Right.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I guess I'm getting more like Dad, because Dad's always like, you know what? It could go winter for like Christmas. And then after that, the shit could melt away and it could warm back up and I'd be happy. So
yeah,
I think that's kind of the story I've got. But
so you're anyway. Moving to Florida when?
Yeah, right. Yeah, if I didn't have so much shit around here, I might consider it, or move to like Australia. So because you know, when it's winter here, it's summer in Australia, and then when it's winter there, it's summer here. So I could move back and forth.
You know. But could you handle the toilet flushing the different direction?
I think I could learn to bear it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know about Florida. I love the heat. I'm all for warm weather, but humidity.
Right.
I don't get on with humidity. So I'd be a little concerned with that.
Yeah, well, see, humidity does not bother me in the least bit. Of course, I was born in July, so, you know, I'm used to all this, the warm weather and the hot and all that. So humidity doesn't bother me at all.
But, oh, God, it drives me crazy. If you're dressed appropriately for humidity, right. as in, right. like, I'm in a tank top like I am right now, I'm in shorts, no problem. But... I have on numerous occasions had to be in a work setting where I've been in a suit in very humid conditions, hot, and it's just miserable.
Right.
And I, you know, I see people walking around and they're in like coats and stuff and they're not sweating. And I'm just like, that's not, you're all aliens, because that is not human. Mm-hmm. All of our friends in the UK, they literally would die if they lived in Florida.
Right.
I mean, just dropping like, you know, that whole suddenly died thing would just be like, we shipped them all there and they would done. Okay. Well, we've covered some very important topics. Anything else you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. I've had some like pain in both my thumbs for like a year now. And I thought for a while I was just getting old. It was arthritis because I mean, I have arthritis in my knees and back and everything else. Right. So why the fuck not have it in my thumbs? Right. Well, come to find out, it's probably tendonitis because I watched, don't laugh, but I watched a video of this from this chiropractor, physical therapist person, and she had it. And apparently she got it from she had a baby. She got it from lifting. Apparently you can get it from like lifting your children and shit like that. It puts pressure on the tendons and stuff in your thumb. And so you get tendonitis in your thumbs. And it's also called texture thumb, I think, and which would make sense. Yeah, texture. Like, you know, texting.
Thought you were saying texture.
Well, no, not texture, although maybe. And
we
suppose,
can say that
like,
three times and it'll sound three different ways, but okay. Right. That makes much more sense to me now. Text thumb.
Yeah, or like, I suppose, like with a controller, gaming, you know, joysticks, sure. That whole thing. But anyway, yeah, so I apparently have tendonitis in both my thumbs. Thankfully, there are like exercises I can do to kind of work through that. So maybe here in a couple of weeks, I can actually open a jar of pickles again. Because let me tell you, when your thumbs hurt.
Most important thing.
Right. Or, you know, a bottle of beer. Because, you know, when your thumbs hurt and you can't grab on to like a jar to open it or something, that is a pain in the ass. Because then you're looking around going, okay, how the fuck am I going to open this jar of spaghetti sauce? So,
no. Okay. Kim, come on. I have seen numerous commercials, late night television on obviously the channels that I tend to watch, right. Where they have the can opener, easy can opener device, which ultimately looks like a giant rubber band that they put around the lid of the jar.
Right.
And you can grip it better. So there's hope for you.
I hope, because, you know, if this doesn't get better, I'm in trouble. Yeah.
And if you need to find something like that, I bet if you go to your local old age home, you'll have a bunch in the kitchen.
Probably. So, yeah, I've got to, like I said, and as weird things would go, I have tendonitis in my thumb. So thumbs, I guess, because it's not just one thumb, it's both thumbs. And I've had it, like I said, for about a year now. And I thought maybe it was just arthritis because, you know, getting up there. But
well, since we're talking about body ailments, I'll just throw in. I am fairly confident. I have a rotator cuff thing going on right now.
Right.
And so for the past, it's probably been like a month or so. My right shoulder, like especially at nighttime, and I don't know why. Yeah, it's just kind of like when you're sick, you know, during the course of the day, you're fine. You can breathe normal. You're not feeling anything. And then by the time you want to go to bed, suddenly you're coughing. You can't breathe through your nose. You're miserable. Right. Same thing with my shoulder is that when I get to that point of going to bed, once I stop and I'm just resting, it just like radiates pain to the point like I can't sleep. So I'm like, I'm taking Tylenol, Advil to try and just calm it. And of course, I went to my doctor and he's pretty much confirmed that. And he called it, I'm trying to remember what he called it. It was like some kind of ridiculously simple name. So I was just like, okay, you're just making shit up. Right. It was, you know, like inflammatus or something. And I'm just like, okay, one, I don't think that's a thing. But he sent me stuff on it. There's little exercises I can do. But of course, I ignored all that. You know, I'm supposed to not be lifting. I'm trying as best I can to, because it's just a specific direction. It's basically the lateral movement that really hurts. So, and I'm also, speaking of lifting children, pretty sure that's how I probably hurt my shoulder.
All Colin's fault.
Yeah, blame the child. Always blame the child. There really is nothing to report here. It still sucks. It still hurts. It's a pain. I bought this thing to ice my shoulder. I do that every other night-ish. That seems to help. And if I actually would do it more often through the course of the day, it probably would do a lot better for me. But, you know, anyway.
I understand. I've been eating Advil like candy, so I understand.
Be careful with that.
I know.
You have to be careful with that.
Yeah, I keep it around as long as possible. So,
yeah. Anyway, so, okay. Mm-hmm. Body aches.
What about
aside,
you?
Yeah. I have been watching on Netflix. My wife was recommended a show called In the Dark. And I had never seen this. I was or even heard of it, to be frank.
Right.
I was like, okay, well, let's check it out. And what was the I should have looked this up ahead of time so I could talk about this intelligently. There was a Marvel television Marvel Netflix series with a woman, Joan. She was superhero, Marvel superhero. She basically was drunk all the time.
Yeah.
Exactly. Needless to say, the main character, this reminds me of her.
Boomer, you know what this is. Come on.
Yes, Boomer, come on. In the chat, help me out. Marvel superhero Netflix show with a woman who was drinking all the time because
it was the chick off of Breaking Bad that was Jesse's girlfriend for a while, right?
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah.
And she basically had fast regenerative healing powers. Mm-hmm. I believe that's part of her.
Was it Jessica James?
Jessica Jones.
Jones. There we go.
Yes. So kind of has her attitude. Mm-hmm. Now the main character though, she's blind. And so I'll call it a kind of a combination of like Nancy Drew and Jessica Jones kind of mash up together. And then you add in the blind part. It's been very entertaining. They have 4 seasons. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. Turns out it was a CW show.
Oh.
And I'm not normally one to watch CW shows, but the fact that I don't have to sit through all the commercials. And so I've been enjoying it, but it is pretty comical because you can tell every time they do a commercial break because they fade to black and then they come right back in.
Right.
And I'm just like, why are they doing these annoying breaks? And like, oh, it's a CW show. These were all commercial breaks that they've now just stitched it all together. Anyway, it's good though. I like it. In the dark. If you're looking for something different, check it out. I have a new camera that I'm using right now called an Insta360 Link. I didn't really need a new camera,
right?
But I
bought one anyway.
I can't even say I was doing a Robin drinking and then buying the things on Amazon because that wasn't the case. I was sober when I did it, but I just wanted this camera. I saw somebody they did a video review of it, and I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. And so one of the things that I actually liked about this camera that I've recommended to Robin for his racing is it actually will do tracking. So if I hold this up, now it's going to track me.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So yeah, so it's a pretty cool little camera. I like it. There's other things you can do with it, but it has a bunch of gesture features that you can kind of tap into it to make it do things that you want to do. And it will display up to 4K, which is great. Although my monitor only does 1440, so I'm like, it's kind of overkill, but it looks good. The lighting calibration is much better than my previous camera, so I'm pretty darn happy with it. I can't complain. So Insta360 Link, and it was only $300. So relatively inexpensive in the grand scheme of different kinds of cameras that can go to 4K. That's the caveat.
There's the caveat there. Yeah, I was gonna say because that's more than I spent on my mic and my camera. Because I can't say laptop. Because the laptop was like $4. So
yeah, yeah. And now it's just gonna annoyingly pulse in and out on me because I keep leaning forward and then back. But I'm good with it. I like it. It's fun. Anyway.
Yes, carry on.
I was going to say, and it also has some cool things. Like it has a desktop view. So it literally could shine down on the keyboard in front of you. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing maybe like an unboxing video or something, you can have that on display in front of you. Yeah.
Cool.
Things that I don't do, but that I just needed to have this camera to be able to do. That's what it was.
One day it'll happen. Yes. You know, well, speaking of technology, cause I forgot to mention this. Remember how we were talking? Well, I was talking last show about my laptop being slow because all my games and stuff on it.
Yes.
I took your advice. I got a SSD, and I actually worked on it this morning. Moved all my games over to the SSD, checked to make sure they would load from it, yada, yada. It all worked, and my laptop is back to being fast again. So I'm tickled. So thank you.
I'm glad I was able to help you out. And that's one of those things that you don't think about because, you know, the hard disks on our computers, you know, once they get over like 50% full, regardless of what kind they are, they're going to get impacted. And
that's why this one was. It was getting close to being full. So because when I bought it, I had no intentions of gaming on it. So it didn't have one on there that was very big at all. So yeah, it was pretty much. But no, with the little games that I had on there, because I only had maybe 10 games.
Right.
It was pretty much at its limit. So.
And kind of on the lines of laptops, one of the things I love about my work laptop, one, it has an SSD drive, but more importantly, because we're a very cloud-based company. So if my laptop ever fails, like it did previously, I was talking to my boss, and I was like, you know, do I need to go get it fixed? He's like, no, just go buy a new one. So just buy a new laptop.
Right.
And I'm thinking about it. As I was panicked at first, because I'm like, oh, shit, I'm going to lose everything on my laptop. Mm-hmm. Everything's in the cloud. Right. So I literally, at one point, my laptop was having some issues, and I literally just reset it.
There you go.
No problem. Everything was right back where it was when I needed it. So
it's not like it used to be when we would all panic and back something up to an external hard drive and hope like hell that thing didn't blow up. And you know.
Exactly. No, I was just thinking. So this last time when we upgraded my wife's laptop, I mean, I'm taking thumbnail drives out. Like I have like 20 different stupid thumbnail, like 1 gig thumbnail drives that you get from all the trade shows you go to. Because everybody hands those out. And so I'm just like taking all of these and loading documents onto it for her. So then I could then transfer it onto the other laptop once she pulled up her laptop. Mm-hmm. It should be simpler, but it is getting simpler. You know, again, as long as you're involved with the whole cloud side of things.
Right. Yeah. Because like the way cell phones are nowadays, because I can remember back in the old, you know, when cell phones were all that. They would plug one year's old cell phone into a thing and then plug your new one and transfer things over that way. Nowadays, because everything's on the cloud, you know,
right.
It takes.
Although
like
they still can do that.
Yes, they
did that
can.
For my current cell phone. They did that with. And that way you just get all of your apps and settings just kind of put onto the new phone.
Right.
But things like pictures. That's, you know, one of those things where, you know, you don't realize the Verizon. Well, I use Verizon. We have the Verizon cloud.
Yep.
And it's been very handy. There's been a few times where there weren't photos that were on your current phone.
Right.
But they're up in the cloud. The one downfall to, by the way, the whole syncing up of photos is if you take screenshots of shit and you know, like a receipt and you forget to wipe it off your phone before you go to bed. And then that night your phone syncs up and then suddenly you've got a picture of a receipt on your phone.
I have all that now.
Yeah.
If I ever croak and people go through my cloud, they're going to wonder why I have screenshots of certain shit. Cause I've shared shit with you guys and it's weird. And they're going to look at that and go, what the hell was Kim into?
Let's be honest. They're probably not that far off.
True.
I would hate to see Pete's phone.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be worse than mine, and that is possible. So.
Okay. Let's move off from story time. We're going to start talking about some video games. So let me play one of these fancy little things.
Alrighty.
I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right. We're going to talk about games. Kim, before we get into everything we've been playing, let's talk about Epic Games Store, because apparently they had a March update.
Yeah. We've got 3 new games before the end of March, so they'll be free. Go out, pick them up. I've picked up at least one of them. Now through the 23rd, which isn't very far from now, is Warhammer 40,000. I don't know why I had spaced out on that one. But anyway, Gladius, Relics of War, which is free now. The next one, which will be available the 23rd to the 30th, is Chess Ultra, which I'm sure is right up Pete's alley. And then after that, I guess it's the same week as that, we have World of Warships Starter Pack, Ichizuki, or something Zucchini, Ichizuki. I don't know. Anyway, it'll be free on the Epic Game Store, you know, in a few days. So there you go. Go out, get them. They're free. I mean, they're actually free, so because unlike some of these others that, you know, we pay for it to get them free, these are actually free. So there you are. Go get them.
World of Warships Starter Pack, Ichizunike. Is that what we're sticking with?
Not itchy, you know, zucchini, but that was funnier. So there you go.
Ichizuki?
Yep, maybe? Ichizuki. Well, because I took it exactly the way it's spelled from the Epic store. So, yeah, Ichizuki, I guess, whatever that means. I didn't actually look into it because I don't play World of Warships, but somebody probably knows what that means. So, or I just insulted a country. Whatever.
Ichizukini.
Yep, Ichizukini.
Okay. All right, let's talk about the games we played. We'll go back and forth on this. So I'm going to start. We'll go to you, then back and forth. So I'll start with Halo 3. Halo Infinite Season 3. Got in some more multiplayer on Wednesday. Had just a good time. I feel like they are turning a corner with Halo. But it may be too late. I don't think they're ever going to get back to the real popular hype they had when they first launched out.
Right.
But it's really become solid. It's become solid, and I think it's just going to kind of continue to just do its thing. And I think if they can continue to update with good content for the season passes, as well as just continue to roll out good maps, it'll be fun. I will say, Snoogans and I, we didn't quite have a one-on-one battle. So there's some trash talking that happened in our WhatsApp chat.
Just a little.
You know, and I don't really know how that spurred up, because I think I made a comment and somebody said beef. And it was just like, from there, you know, it just took a life of its own.
Might have been Martin.
Probably Martin. anyway, so Friday, we got in a little online multiplayer. And, met one of Snoogan's pals, Decay something. But I forgot but his nickname is Chin, which, that I will forever remember because, of course, Mike Chin, a Pete Chin. Right. He says he's the original Chin. I just say he's a Chin without a double N or double Chin. Anyway, so we played a few, matches, and then we played some custom match. And we played on the Modern Warfare, what was it, Nuketown map. Mm-hmm. And so, again, this is something that was made in Forge. We had this, it was a free-for-all session. Mm-hmm. But really, it was us against Snoogans, and then when we could, we would kill the other person. I got a kill on Snoogans, like right off the bat. Wow. And I was all excited. I was going over to teabag him, and Decay killed me. Oh. And the best part was, I'm like running to teabag Snoo because he's all, "Don't you dare." And I'm like, "I'm coming. I'm going to hold off. Don't kill me. Don't kill me." And I just as I start to teabag Snoo, I get shot in the back and killed.
Terrible.
Yeah. From there, I will just say it went downhill. Snoogans definitely is a solid, solid, good player. And, So his kill totals were like double the combination of myself and Decay. But that's okay. You know, I got my kill on him. I held my own respectably enough to where I can say, you know, I got in a few nice kills, and I was a sneaky bastard at times. I freely admit it. Next time we'll probably record one of these sessions. Had I really thought about it, I would have recorded it and we could have played it now, but you know, I didn't. That's what happens when you get old. Right. Anyway, so Halo Infinite going well, continuing on. Kim, what about you?
Oh, as per usual, at least here lately, I played some more Hi-Fi Rush on my little Razor Edge, which I'm telling you, I'm getting the goodie out of that thing. So yeah, Hi-Fi Rush, I'm still terrible. I still have no rhythm. The one button the one button deal that you could set in the settings, it doesn't help you with the little robots I'm still terrible with those, but I'm to the point now that I don't really care. I mean, I'm enjoying it, so I just kind of want to get through it and finish it and be done with it. Whether I get all the collectibles and all the rigmarole, I don't know. I may change my mind once I am through it and decide to go back and do it again. I don't know, but for right now I'm enjoying it. But I kid you not, and you've played this, so I don't think it'll be much of a spoiler, but you remember the part with the nodes where Peppermint had to shoot the nodes, and then you had to go like smack a big button once you got to the end of it.
Yeah.
I either did those backwards or I don't know what, but I swear, is it just me or was there like a difficulty spike during those?
Yeah. So, and that, you know, I don't know if you want to call it a complaint, but it's one of those things that it threw me off because there are often times where you're going through a platforming session and it will end in a QuickTime event.
Right.
And the QuickTime event isn't always exactly obvious that you've entered into a QuickTime event.
Right.
And so there were definitely a few different times where I got into that and I was just like, what am I doing wrong?
Right.
I don't understand. And then suddenly it just like hits you and you just feel stupid because it's painfully obvious what you were supposed to be doing. but it took you a little while to figure it out. And then once you figure it out, you're like, okay, I know what to do. Yep. I may have to do it one or two more times because of the timing thing.
Half a dozen because well,
or
I
half
suck.
A dozen. Yeah. But
Yeah, I got to those nodes. And like I said, I don't know if I did them backwards, but like the first two were terrible. Were harder than hell. Then I get to I guess it's the last because you don't really have to pick one or the other because I just kind of like, you either go here, you go here, or you go here. So like I said, I don't know if I picked the hard ones first or what, but the first two were difficult as all hell. But the last one was the easiest fucking one. And I'm like, what the hell? What did I miss? So, yeah. But I did see online there were some other people that had played it and said, yes, this was a section of the game that was confusing because it seemed like the difficulty had spiked on it more than it should have. And I'm playing on easy mode and it was still freaking hard. So, now, admittedly, I am a lousy player, so maybe. Anyway. But I did. I had a hell of a time with it. I actually had to fire it up on the Xbox to do the part with the electrified fence or wall or whatever the hell that was where you had to get away from it. Yeah, I had to actually pull it up on the Xbox because on the tiny screen on the edge, I was having a hell of a time getting away from that thing and finishing that section of it. So,
you know, and that's one thing I will say in terms of the small screen handhelds, and same holds true for the Steam Deck. Or trying to play games on your phone. Sometimes those screens are a little prohibitive to playing certain games or certain modes. That's quite honestly why when I do play on the Steam Deck, depending upon like the text size can get awfully small on the Steam Deck because it's not always optimized for a handheld. I absolutely will use cheater glasses, you know, two times magnification. So it just is bigger. You know, the lettering and stuff is easier just to it just helps. It helps with the game flow to be able to understand what the hell you're supposed to do.
Go figure. Yeah, so I had to do it with that. But then once I did that part and then I switched back to the edge, for some reason it seemed like the button presses for that got easier on the edge than it was trying to play with a controller on the Xbox. So go figure. I don't know. But Hi-Fi Rush, I'm having a lot of fun with it, even though I have no rhythm. And some of the QuickTime events are just fucking aggravating because you get through one section of it and you think that's it, but then boom, they bring up a second part of it that's almost similar to the first part and you're like, oh wait, shit, is this starting over again? Did I miss a spot? And then you're like, no wait, this is a second section. Well, by the time you figure that out, you've missed one and you've got to start all the way fucking over. So yeah, anyway, Hi-Fi Rush, it's free on Game Pass, go try it.
I still think the writing and the humor in that game was surprisingly good.
I
did find myself multiple times just, you know, the chuckles. I mean, there was, it's not like, oh my God, this is the funniest thing ever type humor.
Right.
But it's surprisingly good considering Japanese developer game. You just, you know, came out of left field, didn't seem like it had a huge budget. And yet this game just feels so polished from start to finish, like, you know, from the graphics, from the gameplay, from the writing, the dialogue, the delivery, all of it. It's impressive. So I'm with you.
I laughed a lot at Cinnamon the robot because especially that one part with the electrified wall, he's like, this is the part where you have to run, Mr. Giant. And of course I heard that about 12 dozen times because I kept dying, but I still liked him. So, and did you know you can beat the crap out of the little robots that clean the floor and they will give you like health and stuff. I didn't know that. I did it once, but then I felt bad because I beat his ass up and he wasn't doing anything. So
I often was trying to beat up the robots just that were in and around the space. Some you can, you get rewarded for it. Other times they will kind of keep you from doing it.
Right.
But it's always kind of funny how it keeps you from doing it because it'll actually have some dialogue that will come up that it'll just be like, you know, why are you doing this to me? Why do you keep trying to hurt me?
Right.
So yeah. Again, clever writing. And I think, you know, and just the last thing to it is it was just great how it just continually evolves. There's always something new you're learning in the control schemes and how you're working with it. It never feels like it's reached its limit in terms of new things it's going to add up until you get to the final boss.
Right.
And so I think that was another thing that I really liked. I never got bored with it. I never was like, okay, I've got everything I can possibly get. And now I just have to grind through the last half of the game.
Right.
Looks like we have not only Boomer, but I see a Nicole sighting.
Yeah.
Okay. What else should we talk about here? Bear with. What is next on the list? Phantom Brigade. Okay. I'm going to put this up here and I'm going to say that I started this game.
Mm-hmm.
I attempted to get into the tutorial. Now, mind you, I bought this game. This game kind of sight unseen. It's got everything I want. Turn-based tactics, mechs.
Mm-hmm. Why do I feel you were disappointed?
No, not disappointed. Disappointed in that, Kim, I literally could not figure out what the hell I was doing. And it was partially because I was trying to do it in the latter part of a workday. And my attention was absolutely not focused on where it should be. So
gotcha.
We'll see. I will say this. This is foreshadowing for another game. The tutorial section on this felt a little, it just wasn't very clear. And right. So, that's one of those things where I want my tutorials to, you know, be very blatantly clear on what you want me to do, how to do it.
Yeah, because otherwise, what's the point? I mean, if you come out of it not knowing what to do, so.
I looked also at the tutorial as I was just playing now. And I'm like, well, that kind of seems pretty straightforward. Well, anyway, so I did attempt to play it, Jason. Unfortunately, I don't have any tremendous impression to give you other than I think this is going to be a game I like. I really liked Battletech. So I think I will like this game very similarly. I will say this, though, and maybe this is a fault of this game. The way Battletech, when they introduced you, it was kind of with one robot. And you just kind of learn the basics with the one robot first. Here, they kind of try to introduce in the squad mechanic to it all very quickly. And mm-hmm. I think that just made things a little more messy. We'll see. I will definitely continue to try and play it. Come back to it. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, good.
Exactly. Good luck. Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah. All right, Kim, what's next on your list?
Believe it or not, it's Stray. Also played on my little Razor Edge. So, and it was a perfect game for that because obviously you're looking down at a cat and doing, you know, cat things. So it was perfect for the Edge. And I got a little farther on that. I was stuck in the sewer with the little blood-sucking Zerk, Flea, whatever you want to call those things. And believe it or not, I actually got through it. And I got a little Zerk killing laser, which is nice. So that'll be handy. The only thing is I got to watch because it will overheat and stop working. And then they will attack me and eat me and kill me, which is always sad to watch my little cat have the blood sucked out of it by these fucking things. So I don't have to do that very often because it's just terrible. I've got a little further. I don't know how far I am in it yet, but I did, I guess, if somebody's played it, they'll know what I'm talking about. I've been to the sewer, I rescued the guy's dad, and he's now back with his son. So, if anybody knows where the hell I'm at on that game, then you have some idea of where I'm at. So, that's right.
I just can't get over cats with lasers.
Well, he doesn't actually have the laser. It's his little buddy that lives in his backpack. He's got a little robot that, you ever seen the movie Batteries Not Included?
How does the cat put the backpack on? Question I want to know now. How does this cat actually put the backpack on?
Well, he didn't. I think the robot people that live in the city, one of them put the backpack on him.
Okay.
So,
That's a saving grace because, I mean, no opposable thumbs. I'm just saying.
Right? Well, yeah. I mean, unless like my cat Mittens, he's got thumbs because he has extra toes on his paws. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. He's got his little robot pal. He looks a lot like the little robots in Batteries Not Included. You remember the little flying? Yeah, that's what this mm-hmm. little guy looks like. And he's got the laser on him and he collects things and he helps the cat. So anyway, yes, Stray. I got back at it, like I said, with my little handheld device there. It was really good for this. And I've been playing a lot more PlayStation games because of it. It's kind of nice to sit there at night when dad's watching his cop videos or whatever on his tablet, and I'm sitting on the couch with my little handheld playing PlayStation games or what have you. So there you go. Stray.
I'm just going to say this now. Cats with lasers is every person's nightmare.
Freaking laser beams, let me tell you.
Because you know this, Kim. You know this. Yes. They will kill you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're nice to you right now because you feed them.
Right.
The moment they know they can kill you.
Forget it. So if you don't hear from me in like a couple of days. You might want to check on me. So
fair play.
Yeah.
Cats with lasers. Cats help with us. Lasers. Yeah. God help us all. all right. What is next on our list of games we get to talk about?
I don't know, but I like watching your webcam. It focuses in on you and then it pulls out.
I know. It's just the subtle movements too. I'm like back, forward. But see, now I can stop it.
Right.
And now it'll just be fixed.
Oh, there you go. At least when we go up.
Then now I won't drive you crazy with the camera going back into back. Zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out. Okay. Oh. It also has voice apparently. damn you, camera. Where was I going with this?
What were you playing next?
Valheim on console.
Oh, I tried this. I tried to try it, but it doesn't work well on my tiny screen trying to figure out my character because they all look like dudes, even though they were supposed to be female. So
there's not a lot of difference between the characters, I'll tell you. Gotcha. That right now. But this game, it's kind of got its hooks in me. And maybe it's because I made a nice little beach house with a deck. I mean, I kid you not, Kim. I'm like, I'm making a deck. I've got little stairs leading up to it. I've got multiple approaches to the deck. I've got little tiki torches outside.
Nice.
Yeah. It's like a very comfortable house. And right now I'm just angry that I can't actually add more stuff inside of it to make it feel even more homey.
Right.
But I don't know what the comparison of this game is. It's kind of Minecrafty,
right?
And I think that's probably the best comparison. It's like Minecraft with Vikings,
right?
And so you're going along, you're gathering resources, and then you're building stuff, and you build stuff, you know, houses and little outposts, you know, that, which in theory is to allow you to venture out further. Because you do have to seek shelter when it's cold and wet and rainy outside. You don't have to necessarily eat, but eating, you can't, you know, we talked about this, you can't die of starvation.
Right.
But your stamina and your health will go down. And so if you do encounter an enemy, which they do have these dumb little enemy creatures that are, I think one's coming on screen right now. And they're just annoying. And then there are bigger, worse versions of these things out there. But if your stamina is down, if your health is low, they will kill you. And if you do die, all your stuff that was on you just is in that spot. And the only way you can go get it is by going back and retrieving it. Now, you do get respawned in your closest home. The last place you rested. And so that's one of the other reasons why you want to build these outposts, so you create kind of save points in the game. I don't know what the point of this game is. I'm pretty sure there are these different kind of god creatures that you eventually have to face off and kill all of them. And that will get you to, I don't know, Valhalla or something. And so that will eventually save you, or is the end game goal. I don't really know. I haven't been paying that much attention. I just know I like building stuff, and kind of like Minecraft, there's recipes to all of these things. But one of the things that they have kind of tied into this is you don't have to learn the recipes. You already know them. However, you've forgotten them because you're being reborn, you know, into this world. And so you've forgotten all of your previous knowledge, but as you gather resources, so let's say you find lumber, suddenly you remember, oh, I remember I can make a club with this. I can make walls for a home. I can make floors for a home. So whatever wood takes, you know, you then kind of know what that end product could be. And then if it's combinations of things, once you have all the combinations of stuff to make that thing, you suddenly will remember that. It'll be part of your building capability. So it kind of approaches it differently. It's a little more unique. It plays fine, smooth. Visually, it's not going to wow you.
Right.
But there is something about the aesthetic of this game that I do like. It is somewhat pleasant. And there is something also unnerving about just venturing through these forests with no idea where the heck you're going. And I find it different than Minecraft. Minecraft to me always just, you're just off. You're just on a journey and you never really feel like you're getting into dark, scary places. Here, the weather changes, the darkness, you know, there's sunsets and there's, you know, so there's time of day differences. Mm-hmm. And that can impact the vibe and the mood. Like there will be foggy days will happen and suddenly you're entrenched and looking at, you know, the landscape is all fogged over, so you can't really see far. And so it just all has, you know, again, it's got that Minecraft kind of hook to it. I guess mm-hmm. that's the best way to explain it. I know Mark said he got bored with this game. I don't think this is a game for everybody, but also this is a game that took off in a pretty big way when it came out on PC, when it first came out. Other dumb little things. There's this crow you'll see on the screen. I think I can kind of do it with the cursor. He's kind of your guide. Think of him as the tutorial guide. He helps you kind of understand a lot of the different elements to the game. Mm-hmm. But there's still a lot he doesn't necessarily cover. And so there's going to be still things, unless you find locations where the crow will appear or mm-hmm. do something that makes the crow appear, you're still oftentimes just wandering around kind of just doing your thing and trying to figure it out. And maybe that is the appeal. Maybe it is the appeal of just building and kind of making the world your own world that is cool. I will say the house building mechanics, and you're seeing it on screen here. Mm-hmm. They're pretty straightforward, simplistic. They could be slightly better. Like there's a magnetic system that will let you kind of lock pieces together. But sometimes it's a bit finicky, just like all these building games where you're trying mm-hmm. to get the wall just right and it just won't seem to kind of connect. And then suddenly it does. And you're like, okay, great. Also, I'm a bit nutty in that I just would get aggro if I saw grass sticking up through my wooden floor. And so I would have to level things out and then put the planks down. If you do destroy something, you get those resources back. So you could play around a little bit with the building and do things differently how you see fit. One thing I did learn also, which caught me off guard, fire, which is hugely important in this game, because you need a fire to cook food. You need a fire to stay warm. When it rains, go figure, fires don't like rain. This game takes that into account. If for my main house, I had to build like you can't put the fire inside of your home unless you have tall enough ceilings mm-hmm. because it creates smoke.
Right.
And the smoke can hurt you mm-hmm. just like in real life. Right. But they don't have a chimney system. So that kind of pissed me off because I wanted to just be able to build a chimney and have it go through the chimney. They don't have that. Huh. So instead, I put the fire just outside of my window, and it was enough to keep me warm inside. So that was my solution. But then, of course, it starts freaking raining. Mm-hmm. So then I had to build a little lean-to go over the fire, but I built it too shallow.
Oh, shit.
And so the smoke literally started suffocating the fire, and the fire kept going out. So I had to build that up taller. So it has its little nuances. It has a lot of detail to it that I think it's unexpected, because I kind of thought it would just be very straightforward, simplistic, and it's not. You do have to take a lot of things into account. Right. And the more you do anything, so running, jumping, stealth, that kind of thing, the more you level up those abilities. So if you're running all the time, your stamina is going to build and you're going to be able to run farther and faster. So far I'm enjoying it, even though I don't really know what I'm doing.
Yeah, because I kind of figured, you know, you'd have big trolls that would come out and they'd give you shit.
You do. You do have those. I encountered one of those and he killed me. And that was the one time I died. And so now, of course, I'm scared to hell to ever go back in that area.
Right.
But as you, again, gain more resources and more knowledge, you'll start building better weapons, better mm-hmm. ability to armor yourself and defend yourself. So, there's a process to this game.
Right.
And I don't know that there's a way to shortcut any of it, which is fine. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what this game wants you to do. It wants you to just continually grow and build. And that's ultimately the main thrust of the game, is you're growing and building.
Okay. Now, can other players get on your game and fuck with you and burn your shit down?
Yes. So you create mm-hmm. basically a server node, and it can be private or it can be public.
Right.
And people can join in on your server. And my understanding is just go kind of anywhere in your world and do their thing, or right. they can partner up with you and you can co-op together. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the player limit is on a per server basis for the console side. So I imagine it's kind of similar to Minecraft.
Right.
You know, it might have a four limit player limit or something like that.
Gotcha.
Let's see. Nicole say Minecraft has it as well. The lightning strikes will scare you. Great. all right. I want to turn my camera back off. Let's see if it'll listen this time. Okay. We're not giving any more commands. Okay. I think we can talk about stop talking about Valheim. Look, it's on Game Pass. It's in game preview on Game Pass. I believe it's out on PS5 as well. Not positive. I think so. Maybe. But obviously not in Game Pass.
Right.
Or in PlayStation Plus Premium. It's worth checking out. Especially if you like Minecraft, I think you will or a game like Rust. Maybe that's another right. game that I think has similar vibes of you making your own thing and you, co-op players can mess around with you. But, you know, obviously the setting's slightly different. You don't have zombies here. You have trolls and little ghouls. There's also like skeletons I know that I'll be fighting at some point. I'm sure there's other monsters within this. But I've just been focusing on making my little beachfront property.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Okay, so that was that. Kim, what else for you?
Well, the only other thing I've got on my list is we played some more Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer, and we live up to our little catchphrase, which is die, die, and repeat, because that's pretty much what we do, is we just die and keep dying and come back and die some more. So, and it's, what, XP weekend, I think? So, I'm like a level 39 now, so we're getting there. Of course, you know, Boomer's like level 100, so, you know, overachiever and all that. But I mean, it's fun. I mean, I like Battlefield just as much, if not more. But Call of Duty is fun. And I mean, after a while, now that we're all playing Battlefield too, we can kind of switch off and play Battlefield whenever Call of Duty just is sucking the life out of us. So, you know, Call of Duty, it is what it is. You die, and because like today, there was some jackass running around with a riot shield and a knife. So we tried to make mincemeat out of them. I think eventually they got tired of it and at least dropped the riot shield. So, you know, that makes it fun.
Is this possibly a thing of like there's achievements built around, you know, kills probably. With riot shields, that kind of thing?
I'm
always
sure
wonder about that kind of stuff.
Completions and something and stuff they can unlock for that. So, you know, it is what it is. And I get it and I understand it. It just sometimes when you get those ones where they, you know, they constantly pester you and they're killing you all the time, that's usually when my gamer rage starts to go off because I'm just like, you know what? How many other players are there on this map? Go fuck with one of them and leave me alone. So, yeah. Yeah. But it's fun nonetheless. I mean, like I said, we hang around, we have a good time. It's like Battlefield, you know, last weekend. We all sat around. We all died, but it was still a good time. So, yeah.
When you play with friends, it's especially in these types of games, I always find it more fun.
Right.
Halo, Battlefield, Modern Warfare.
Exactly.
It will all be infinitely better than just being a solo experience. But the solo experience still can be fun, especially if right. you're just going in, you want to throw down for a little bit, then jump back out. It's perfect for that.
Right.
I will say I enjoy Modern Warfare more than I thought I would. Mm-hmm. I was very skeptical if I was going to enjoy the multiplayer. I like the single player, obviously, from this game immensely. And multiplayer has grown on me. I really like DMZ, to be honest.
Right.
It's a very different experience. It's also very hard, all things considered. But
I haven't tried that one yet, but it's usually it's just deathmatch and kill confirmed and those sort of things.
Something for us to try, Kim.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it for me. Like I said, more die, die, repeat. So
more die, die, repeat. Okay, what do you want to hear about next? You get choices here. You have either Atomic Heart or Civilization 6.
How about Civilization 6? Because I've noticed you've been playing it, and Phil apparently has a hard-on for it, so... Well, what is this about?
Let's talk about Civilization 6. Well, it's Civilization. It's the game we've known. I loved Civilization 4 that came out on consoles. It was great. Mm-hmm. I have some problems with Civ 6.
Uh-oh.
So overall, everything is there. You know, it looks good. It plays just like I remember Civ 4 playing, but it's been a long time since I played Civ 4.
Right.
So I don't necessarily know what every little icon means.
Mm.
And I went into this saying, you know what, hey, I've never played, because it gives you options when you start up the game. It gives you kind of three different options of I'm very familiar. I'm familiar with Civilization VI. I'm familiar with Civilization games, or I've never played it, basically.
Right.
And I went for the middle because I was like, okay, I played Civ 4, but I haven't played Civ 6. So this seems like the right, you know, the right one to do.
Mm-hmm.
The tutorial felt a bit lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're talking about tutorial problems. One of the things I don't like about this game, and I don't know why it's frustrating me more than probably it should, mm-hmm. but on the tooltips, like when you go to use your selections and you highlight something, it usually will give you a little bit of an explanation of something in terms of what it does or what it represents, especially if it's an icon. Well, the icons for the individual units don't have any kind of tooltip to them.
Right.
So, I mean, I get what the shield means. I'm pretty sure that means defend. I have no idea what the gear cog means. I have no idea. There's an arrow forward, which I think means pass my turn. I don't know.
Right.
There's a heart shape. What does that mean? Does it mean heal up my unit? I don't know. So, and there's nothing in the game that's telling you what these mean. And so that is just, you know, there's my frustration rage coming out where I'm like, okay, I just don't feel like I have a full command of what I'm doing in the game. And of course the game is progressing with units doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you have enemy AI that are all doing, they're building their world. So this just feels like a miss for me right now. And and maybe I go back and I try and just restart this completely from, I've never played a Civilization game before, and see what this does then. But my fear is that they have kind of assumed some of their icons and kind of how they, you know, they put things together is just going to be very self-explanatory on screen,
right.
But it's
right.
Just not. So yeah, I'm not nearly having as nearly as much fun with this game as I thought I was going to. I really was like very much looking forward to Civ 6. I was like, okay, I'm down. I love Civ 4. And this just has been a slog. I've tried playing it a couple different times now, different times a day. Cause I thought, okay, maybe it was, I was too late at night. I was tired. I'll give
right.
it another shot. No. Still frustrated, still feeling like I'm missing a big chunk of what I should be needing or knowing. So, yeah, we'll see.
I've never played one, so I can't help you. So,
you should try it. Come on.
I can. It's on Game Pass. So, but I've never played a Civilization game. I mean, I've got a pretty good idea of what it is, but I've never actually played one. So,
yeah.
Well,
it's turn-based. It's turn-based tactics. I should love it.
Right.
It's colonizing. It's all of that good stuff. It's my jam, and yet I'm not enjoying it. So
that sucks.
Yeah. But a game I am enjoying.
Huh.
Atomic Heart.
Yeah. Still, huh?
Yeah. I went back to it last night, and I had taken a pretty decent amount of time off from the game playing some
right.
of these different games. But I, you know what? I still very much am positive on this game. Yeah, the dialogue is not the greatest.
Right.
And to that, you can fault this game and say, you know what? Okay. It could have been way better. They
hey, at least it's not Forspoken.
Well, it's Forspoken levels. It really is. It really is. Let's be honest here. Both these games are getting panned hard because of the dialogue, and rightfully so.
Right.
But It's got platforming bits, which you're seeing here, these different platformy bits in the game. They have a really cool lock mechanism, which I think is going to come up. And it will vary from different things, but they're kind of, Simon says, like puzzles. They're not overly hard, but they're just enough of a challenge. You have to pay attention. And they're just a nice in-game puzzle. And so I like that. I like that, you know, this is instead of having to find a key card and come back and, you know, unlock the door. Anytime you come to these locked doors, you're basically, you know, having to do this kind of combination puzzle, and you figure it out. And, it's just, again, a nice little additive element to the game. I don't think the combat is horribly bad at all. I know some people have complained about it. It's a resource management from an ammo standpoint, but if you put it on the lower, you know, difficulty levels, you're not going to have to manage the resources nearly as much as you would, in some of the, you know, more challenging difficulty levels. The game looks gorgeous. It sounds fantastic. I'm in a section right now. It's a lab area. And there's a lot of things growing in different, you know, like tubes, that kind of thing. And there's just some nasty, gross sounds coming out of it. But with headphones on, it's just like, okay, this is awesome. Okay, here's on the screen, you'll see right now, one of those puzzles. So this is basically just, you know, button pressing timing where the pattern goes in one direction. You time it, you know, correctly, and you press the button and you'll get a green light and it'll reverse course. Right. Every time you get one correctly, it speeds up. So again, kind of like Hi-Fi Rush. It's a quick time event, you know, kind of puzzle. But once you solve it, you're good. And you will, there's no shortage on time. You can redo the puzzle as many times as you need to solve it. You're not going to be penalized for not being able to solve it the first time. And it's like, no, you're locked out of this room forever. But anyway, so Atomic Heart, I'm very much liking this game. Yes, the dialogue is not the greatest, but I don't think it's anything that should stop you from playing this game. You will be able to push past it easy enough. And if you really don't like the dialogue, there are audio options that you can basically turn it all down. So I would recommend anybody to give it a shot. I think it's a really unique BioShock-like game, and it's from an indie developer. And you know what? The fact that they pulled this off is pretty amazing to me. I still am in the science laboratory area, so I haven't gotten to this. You know, it opens up into an open world. We'll see how that goes. Maybe my tune will change once I get to that moment. I'm enjoying it. I can't say enough positive things about it outside of the dialogue. That's the one negativity.
That's the good thing. I mean, as long as you're enjoying it. I mean, that's what it's all about. Because if you weren't enjoying it, like, you know, Civ 6, then that would suck. So.
Agreed. Hey, you know what? Let's talk about some news.
Okay.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, Kim.
Hmm.
Making Horizon Forbidden West DLC PS5 exclusive. Let Guerrilla Games charge forward.
Oh.
The expansion, which will be released in April, isn't coming to PS4, despite the base game being released for Sony's current and last-gen consoles. Speaking to the PlayStation blog, Horizon Forbidden West director Matthias De Jong said on Horizon Forbidden West, everything we added and increased was something we need to have a plan around and how to optimize for PS4 as well. On Burning Shores, since we can just focus on PS5, we've been able to charge forward, and we're really excited about what we've been able to pull off in creating this stunning post-apocalyptic version of Los Angeles. Los Angeles is in and of itself a post-apocalyptic wasteland today. So Burning Shores, we'll see Alloy Explorer. Do you say Alloy or Alloy?
I say Alloy, but then that's just Alloy? Me.
Alloy.
Aloy.
The chick. You'll explore a ruined version of Los Angeles. She will seemingly visit several landmarks, including the Hollywood sign, the Capitol Records building, and Venice Beach, where maybe she'll see some buff bodybuilders. Microsoft says more Call of Duty deals with third parties will follow. So, of course, this is all part of this ongoing Activision Blizzard UK King purchase. On Tuesday, the company said it announced another 10-year deal with Bosteroid that will see Xbox PC games being made available to this independent cloud game provider. Bosteroid, or Boosteroid, I guess is really what it is. They are, I believe, a Ukrainian service. But this is an effort, again, from Microsoft to continue to push cloud gaming anywhere and everywhere they can. And ultimately, you know, because I think a lot of people think this is counterintuitive. Why would you want to put your games on competing services? But it really is because cloud gaming is still in its infinite. Mm-hmm. So the more they can grow that market, the more people accept cloud gaming as an actual good way to play games, suddenly you have a much larger pool of potential consumers. So I think Microsoft is fully on board with that. And again, we will see more of these deals come down. This is how they're going to help push this deal over the top. And speaking of that, the EU regulators have delayed their decision on the Microsoft Activision deal after the new remedies were offered up. So in a filing on Thursday, the UE competition regulator said it had pushed back its provisional deadline to rule on the deal from April 25th to May 22nd after Microsoft submitted remedies in a bid to gain its approval. So the EU now will seek feedback from rivals and customers before ruling on the merger. I don't know if you have any thoughts on any of this.
Not really. I just kind of wish it was over and done with at this point. Sony's already kind of made themselves look like an asshat at this point. So,
I mean, they're doing what they should be doing. I get why. They have nothing to lose. Let's be honest. They're going to get Call of Duty. It's been abundantly made clear that if this merger goes through, they'll get Call of Duty. So why not just do everything they can to try and block it? And I think that's what they're doing. But yeah, this was interesting. I was a little surprised that they decided to push this out a little bit. So now,
this now it's another month of this crap.
Yeah, and now this comes a month after, or I should say a few weeks after the CMA will now make its ruling. So prior to this, the EU was set to be the first, and everybody thought, well, that will put some pressure on the CMA to make their decision. And now they are going to make their decision after the CMA. So really the CMA becomes the big battleground right now. And we'll see. We shall see. Square Enix shows off a trailer for, oh dear God, help me, Symbiogenesis.
Exactly.
NFT game. Says it will have 10,000 characters. So this is the first attempt by Square to make a game using NFTs and blockchain technology. Something that continues to divide players, obviously. NFTs are, per this article, are unique, non-interchangeable units of data stored on a blockchain, a form of a digital ledger, which effectively allow users to buy and sell digital products like in-game items or artwork. According to the new information provided by Square Enix, Symbiogenesis is described as a narrative-unlocked NFT entertainment. God help us.
Okay. I mean, are people really still interested in this crap? Because last I heard, nobody really gave a shit about NFTs anymore. So
I don't think a lot of people are terribly interested in NFT games, but I think they're going to continue to be pushed because I think these companies see this as a very easy revenue stream. So.
Yeah, I reckon, but I'm out. So.
Yeah. Okay. And this news may very well upset many. No plans for Diablo 4 on Game Pass, says the series lead. So Rod Ferguson, general game manager for Diablo franchise at Blizzard, took to Twitter to state that a Game Pass appearance for the game isn't in the works at the moment. Key phrases here, at the moment.
Right.
Look, the Activision Blizzard deal goes through. It very well could. If Kim formally buys the game.
I'm planning on, so there you go.
So, So basically, one of two things have to happen. Either they have to buy Activision, or Kim has to buy the game, and then it will appear on Game Pass.
There you go.
But the beta has been out. The closed beta for the pre-order people has been out this weekend. A lot of positive things coming out of that. The open beta starts next week. So you can check out Diablo 4. And I think it's up to level 25. And it'll carry forward to the main game. Yep. I know how much you love your Diablo.
Right.
Are you excited for this?
I am. I mean, I did see some horror stories about some people stuck in queue for like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, it's a beta. I mean, you can, and it's a big game. And you kind of have to expect that because people are going to be hitting servers hard, you know, no matter how well prepared they think they are. I mean, this is a big game that a lot of people are excited for. So there's going to be hiccups. But there were some people that were on there that were all really pissed that, you know, I pre-ordered to get into this, yada, yada, yada. Well, it's a beta. You should kind of expect these things. So,
well, again, this is why I don't pre-order games. Try and get early access, you know, because ultimately you're paying extra money and your time will vary.
Right.
And you may get in from day one. You may never get in. And is it honestly worth, you know, a week's worth of beta gameplay for $10? And then now you're going to have to wait until June.
Right.
Because that's when it actually comes out. I'm just like, come on.
Well, that's it. And I'm not going to lie. I almost pre-ordered it to get in there early. But then I had the same thought. I'm like, yeah, but who's to say I'm going to get in there at all? So. Right. I'll just wait until next weekend, and I may get in next weekend, and I may not. But then after going through this already the week before, maybe they'll have some more things set up, so that way it's a little better the second go around. But we'll see. Either way, yeah. I'm going to get it in June anyway. So, you know.
I'm with you. You know, I plan to game share this with my brother from another. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about it because the open beta was happening, and it's like, oh, well, when's it releasing? And I was thinking it was coming out in just a few weeks. I'm like, oh, wait, no, it's not till June. Right. Well, we got time.
Right. We got time. Exactly.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, speaking of time, Kim, let's talk about the games coming out next week.
All righty. Yes.
With a puberty-ish next week.
Yeah. A little squeaky there. Usually that's my department. Anyway. Your new releases for March 19th through the 25th are Remnant from the Ashes for the Switch on March 21st, Chia, that's what I think. Anyway,
Chia pet.
Right. For the PS5, PS4, and PC, March 21st. Have a Nice Death for the Switch and PC on March 22nd, which I think that's the one about the character death, and I'm pretty sure I've got that on my wish list for Steam, so we'll see. Atelier Ryza 3, Alchemist of the End, and the Secret Key. Okay. That sounds, well, kind of kinky, but whatever. For the PS5, PS4, and Switch on March 23rd. Storyteller for the Switch and PC, also on the 23rd. And one that I'm sure there's quite a few people looking forward to. I'm not one of them because we've discussed this before. I'm a chicken shit. So we have Resident Evil 4, the remake, for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, and PC on the 24th. So go get your shit scared out of you if you're into that sort of thing. And those are your new releases.
I have heard also the Resident Evil 4, very good things. If you like Resident Evil games, this is supposedly really good.
Right.
But I am more interested in knowing, did you actually ever have one of those Chia Pet?
I did not. Things? I kind of wanted one, but I have a black thumb, so to speak, and I'm lucky to keep anything alive. So I, you know. It would have just been the Chia statue thing with nothing on it. So
I equally never had one, but I did laugh because I just instantly, anytime I hear the name Chia, I instantly in my head hear Chia Pet.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, Chia Pet. And then I'm like, okay. I think back to those commercials when they first came out. I want to say it was like a little pig thing. Mm-hmm. Looked like a little pig that was that was your Chia Pet.
And there were the sheep and then they had all sorts
now
of things.
It's like crazy. Now there's like Bob Ross.
Yeah.
Chia Head.
Yeah.
And it's a Chia Head, not a pet. But I mean, I'm curious if Nicole or Gary ever had their own Chia Pets. Be interesting to see.
Right.
Inquiring minds want to know. All right. We are at that time of the show. We're going to wrap things up. We have been talking far more than I thought we would.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Well, we had a lot to say.
So, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it's amazing. Once you get the Brits out of the room, there's a little air, a little, you know, air, some room to breathe and, right. and have conversations just happen naturally.
Right.
We're not randomly calling people out of the blue. sorry, random no Robin. Random calls with Robin today.
No, no. Emma said she has not had a chia pet, so.
No chia pets. Okay.
She wanted one, but pets. No.
Yeah. I always thought the idea was awesome, and I was like, oh, I should, but. Then, like you, I realized it will just die.
Right. We've never had one either. So.
Okay. What we are absolutely not representative of the American marketplace.
Obviously not.
Okay. Halo. Mm-hmm. That's happening Wednesdays. Hey, Nicole, you ever want to play Halo? Hit me up. We're playing Halo Infinite Wednesdays. It's very casual fun. We've been doing it kind of in the competitive modes, but we've now kind of set up some custom games so we can have some silly nonsense in that respect as well. Fridays is kind of loosey-goosey. Take your pick. Could be Battlefield, could be Modern Warfare, could be PUBG, could be Halo, could be pretty much anything.
Right.
With the exception of racing. I don't think we've ever tried racing. That's Robin's. That's Robin's angle.
Right.
Yeah. He's very happy with his little jumper, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good deal.
He's going to wear it to Vegas.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Look out.
All right. I'm going to have to. He has to wear it every day in Vegas. That's what the. Yeah.
By the time he's done, it'll stand up on his own.
I'm actually really afraid of Vegas. The more conversations and, oh, I was checking this out. I mean, you know, freaking Robin is looking up. How not to be killed in Vegas.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. Don't do stupid shit. That's how you don't get killed in Vegas. Right.
Don't wander off in an alley by yourself.
Yeah. You know? But God help us.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, Kim, give us some shout outs. Give the chat some love.
All right. Yeah. Speaking of the chat, we've had a couple in there today. Boomer's been in there, and our good friend, Nicole Amaryllis, has been in there. It was good to see you. So thanks, guys, for dropping by the chat and keeping us entertained. It was a good one today. So thank y'all. Come back again some other day and hang out with us some more because, you know, we appreciate you. So other than that, Mother Nature, get your shit together. I want to be warm again. So, you know, let's do this shit. It's almost spring. We're close enough as far as I'm concerned. So anyway, and as always, Greg, it was fun. This is like my little mental health moment for the week. And definitely there are some weeks like last week. Definitely needed it. So, you know, thanks for that. And over to you.
Well, thank you, Kim, for making the show. It's fun. I like you. This is absolutely the mental health break. You need just to kind of reset, talk about nonsense. Yeah, Mother Nature could get her act together. Spring starts officially the 27th or 21st?
21st, I think.
Let's hope for the 21st. And the
Australian calendar does not help me, so I don't know.
See, maybe time for a different calendar, Kim.
It might be.
And you know what? A shout out to the community in general. Right. It's been awesome just to see how supportive we all are of one another. And we're getting into that time of life where things get challenging. We're dealing with things that aren't easy to deal with. You know, just be there for everybody, you know, pay it forward when you can. And, you know, you'll find that you'll have a community that backs you up as well. Indeed. And that's our little gaming community. That's what we do. So I'm very proud of who we are and how we have just consistently always kind of been there for one another. So awesome stuff.
Thank God. Cause I hang out with children more often than not. I need some adults in my life.
Ironically, I've been called a child many times.
Also, I, but you know, oh, and according to Boomer, spring starts tomorrow. So, yeah, get your ass
tomorrow.
Get your ass in gear and get it warmed up. Anyway.
We have a picture. My son drew a picture of Pete, so we're going to show this live.
Awesome.
So here, shout out to Pete. there is Pete's hand-drawn. Fantastic.
Oh, nice.
Spitting image of Pete on the podcast. Pete, thanks for making the show. Robin... Cheers to you, my friend.
Right.
Yeah, you have to see that on the video stream. It was starting to crumble. Now I'm going to be forced to eat this. All right.
Terrible.
We got to go. This is it. We're done. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you later. Have a wonderful weekend.
That's almost over.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.